it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Now we're back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Orioles here tonight trying to get back in the win column. And Dylan Bundy will try to avoid what would be for him a second consecutive defeat. Orioles and the Twins coming up game two of a three-game series. Buck Showalter is having a birthday today. He's 61 years of age today. Happy birthday, Buck Showalter. I wonder what he wants for his birthday. Well, we may find out. Buck and Rock in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Buck Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter and tonight's Geico Managers Report. Buck, first of all, happy birthday. Are you going to get a chance to celebrate at all?
Well, I wish. I'm glad it wasn't yesterday, Rock. Okay? It depends on how you define celebrate. Winning a game would be great, but I fooled him, made another year. But it, I appreciate it.
Tough loss last night, 14-7, again with a five-run lead. I know this club's very resilient, but there have been these leads lost this year. At some point, do you worry about that taking a toll in a clubhouse?
Yes and no. You worry about everything. There's a fine line between being paranoid and alert. And sometimes there is just so much a team can take, but it's such a long game. There's a long season. There's such an ebb and flow to it that, if you dwell on things like that too much, you're probably not going to be a good club anyway. And there are periods you go through the year when you've had a great season where, I mean, we won 100 games here. There were times during the season where it looked very similar. So you've got to keep that in mind and keep the big picture. But it is very frustrating on the short end of it.
And you know the Ubaldo Jimenez question has to be asked. Another abbreviated outing last night, 4-plus innings. You obviously have a lot of options here with the off day. You could skip him. You could put him in the bullpen, something else. Has a decision been made at this point of what you're going to do with Ubaldo?
We're going to put our best foot forward, Rock. And, we've got some time to decide. We're more focused on tonight's game and kind of taking each day as it comes and see where – something can happen tonight with a pitcher. Something can happen tomorrow with a pitcher. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself in making things that aren't best for the team as a whole. But I'll just say this. We're going to try to put our best foot forward, and we'll see what happens when we get to a need there.
Does it help Ubaldo, because I know how distraught he is here, to have the kind of support system he has in this clubhouse? It seems like there are a lot of guys that are trying to rally around him.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody's been there. I don't care how good you are. This is the biggest stage in baseball, and with the best players. And people don't care on the other teams if somebody's struggling. They're going to beat up on it. Two very similar pitchers last night as far as, what was going on with them. One found a way to get through five innings, and Ubaldo didn't. So, the support's always been there. And, he's handled the challenges very well, but we're in a business where you got to figure out a way to rectify it and get it right.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Manager's Report. Looks like a roster move today. Jason Aquino's here and Stefan Crichton said his goodbyes. Were you looking, obviously Crichton, 59 pitches last night, wasn't going to be available, but were you looking to get another lefty in the bullpen?
Well, in a perfect world, Jason's not your typical guy. From most guys who have started some left-handed, they have, good ability against right-handers because of the changeup. So, it's more about length than anything else tonight. You always got to say what happens if a guy gets hit with a line drive first pitch, where are you going so you don't blow up the bullpen.
The Twins, first place in the American League Central, and I guess they're considered one of the surprise teams so far. Did you watch them last year and figure, okay, they're on the cusp of this kind of improvement?
Well, that Rock, as you and I talked about, last spring I was surprised. I think their pitching got a little sideways last year, and that hurt them. Had a couple of injuries, but seeing them down in Fort Myers, they're on their way. And we knew coming in that they were going to be a challenge. And from a big standpoint, you're happy for them because they have good people over there. It's a good organization. They do things the right way. There's not a lot of that fake drama. They play the game right. And other than them being real good and can beat your brains out, it's actually fun professionally to play them because, you're playing the game of baseball. So, I applaud them, but we need to figure out a way to beat them tonight.
Irvin Santana, 29 hits in 61 innings, 7 of his starts, 1 earned run or fewer. He's been obviously good for stretches in his career, but is there something really special about him this year?
I think he's really two-seaming the ball in a lot more and making guys honor that, and which has made the slider, which has always been a great pitch for him. He's mixed in a changeup. He's really pounded the two-seamer in to get people off, getting out over the plate. You know, the guy pitching tomorrow might have better stuff than any of them.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, thank you. Tonight, the Orioles and Twins coming up game two of a three-game series. Irvin Santana from Minnesota, already a six-game winner. And for the Orioles, Dylan Bundy with a victory tonight could become a six-game winner. In a moment, Dave Johnson, a very special guest, as we continue with the warm-up show right after this. Well, tonight at Camden Yards, a couple of right-handers on the hill. Game two of a three-game set, Orioles and Twins. Irvin Santana comes in 6-2. Dylan Bundy comes in, his record 5-2. And tonight they go head-to-head. Well, the Casey Cares Foundation 8th Annual 5K Run and Walk is going to take place on Saturday, August 5th, right here at Camden Yards. And Casey Baines of the Casey Cares Foundation will be Dave Johnson's guest when we continue with the warm-up show on the Orioles Radio Network.
I'm here with Casey Baines of the Casey Cares Foundation. She is the executive director, she's the founder, and she's got a great foundation here, and she's going to give us a real insight as to how she kind of got started and what she actually does to help, you know, really needy families and young children. Casey, give us an idea of how you got started with this.
It's been an incredible ride. It's hard to believe that for 17 years, we've been helping families, not once in a lifetime, not once a year, but continuously throughout their treatment process and even beyond. But what does that really mean? That means that when you go to the grocery store and you see a child that looks visibly sick, Casey Cares is there to support them. When you go in and you hear your neighbors or your coworkers talk about what a hard time their family's going through, because their child was just diagnosed with cancer, or maybe they have a rare blood disease, or perhaps they had an organ transplant, Casey Cares is there to help that family by providing them little moments and lasting memories.
So do you go into the house? Are you giving gifts? Are you taking them on trips? What does this entail?
There's a science behind what we do at Casey Cares. So we are everywhere. We are in their house providing them movie and pizza nights when their immune system is too depleted and they can't be out in big groups. We're out there providing them getaways and vacations when that family just needs a little time out and to feel like a normal family again. We're there for them on their way to treatment when the parents need something to dangle in front of the kids to say, come on, please get out of bed. Please get out of bed. I know you don't want to go to the doctors. I know you don't want another scan. I know you don't want another spinal tap. But we can go to the aquarium, and that helps get the kids out of bed. But we don't forget about the parents and the siblings either, because when a child is diagnosed with a critical illness, that ripple is felt throughout the entire family. Mom, dad, brother, and sister. And while the sibling, the one child, may have the diagnosis of leukemia, everybody else in that family feels they are going through and battling for this child just as much as the person who has actually dealt the diagnosis.
This obviously sounds like terrific work, but you know, to be able to do something like that and to be able to get involved in something like that, give us an idea of how you got started and why you're so passionate about this.
I have always been very involved in the community, and that is something that I just grew up doing and being involved. In doing so, I was volunteering in a hospital and working on this magnificent wish for a child. And what your job is as the volunteer is to kind of coordinate it all and then get out of the way. So we had a race car driver come in for this child. He was so sick, they couldn't move him out of his hospital bed. So we pulled that privacy curtain over, and there was all this hoopla going on the other side of the curtain when the race car driver came in with the hood of his car. I mean, it was huge. And as I backed away against that privacy curtain, I heard a little voice say, I wish I had cancer. Maybe I could get cool stuff too. And with that, my heart sank and I had to leave the room to see who would wish to have cancer. And that's when I started asking questions. I asked social workers, I asked physicians, I asked patients and their families, why would somebody wish to have cancer? And what I came to find out was that there were so many resources for cancer children, but not all of these other children who are battling for their lives. And that's when we started Casey Cares.
I understand you got a race or coming up, and obviously that's going to help raise funds and needed to help you do what you do for these kids and their families. So give us a real good understanding of what's going on with that and how can people get involved.
We're thrilled to be hosting our annual 5K at Camden Yards at Oriole Park. And this year it is Saturday, August 5th. The O's are in town. It's going to be an excellent day, and all of it will help a critically ill child in need. You get to finish on the field, on the warning track. You're actually out there on the field where you're watching the guys hit all those homers and catching all those great balls. So it is an amazing day, an amazing event. You get to finish on the field. You get this, like, unheard of access to Camden Yards. And it is all to help these children who are battling for their lives.
Okay, Casey, how do people get involved? Website, telephone number, what do they do?
We're thrilled to be having our 5K again here at Camden Yards. It's August 5th. That's a Saturday morning. Get all your friends together, family, coworkers, bring them all out, and know that what you're doing is going to help a critically ill child in need. Check out caseycares.org for your race registration and team registrations. Get everybody involved, lace up those tennis shoes, and you will have the time of your life while helping a critically ill child. You get to finish on the field. It's a pretty incredible experience all the way around.
Great, Casey, and thank you for all you do for the kids.
Thanks so much.
Orioles and Twins coming up, game two of a three-game set. Santana 6-2, Bundy 5-2, and both Bundy and Santana tonight trying to avoid what would be a second consecutive loss. Stay tuned. Oriole baseball is next. All right. Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Dave Johnson back at Camden Yards. After a tough 2-0 loss against the Minnesota Twins, I'll tell you what, Dave, Dylan Bundy tonight came up with yet another quality start, giving up just 2 runs. But Irvin Santana tonight came up with a marvelous start with a complete game shutout.
You know, when you look at this game, you're thinking anytime a guy goes out there, a starting pitcher now gives you 7 innings, you give up 2 runs, you got a really good chance of winning in Major League Baseball right now. But if the other guy just happens to team up and match you pitch for pitch, and actually he was even better because look how many times Santana seemed to just breeze through the lineup, 6, 7, 8 pitches, 10 pitches. I mean, he was just so good tonight that the Orioles tried to ambush him a little bit on some pitches early in the counts, and they just weren't able to, you know, get the balls to drop anywhere. When they actually did hit a ball in play, they hit it hard, they hit it right at somebody, but there weren't many of those either.
Now, why was he so good?
Well, I just think that he had good command tonight. He was down with the breaking ball. When he missed down, so it didn't hurt him. His fastball, both sides of the plate was working. He had the changeup working. If you're down with your off-speed pitches and you're also throwing your fastball, both sides of the plate and down also, every pitch looks the same, and that's what we've seen Dylan Bundy do in his previous, 6 or 7 starts before the last one that wasn't as good. That's what he was doing. I mean, he's throwing all of his pitches for strikes and getting guys to chase when he's ahead in the count. That's what Santana did tonight.
Well, after the Orioles in this game, if I'm not mistaken, in the entire game, they had one at-bat with a runner in scoring position against Irvin Santana.
Yeah, I mean, so you didn't get a lot of opportunities. Now, of course, early on in the season, most of the Orioles hitters are in scoring position when they get to home plate because so many guys have power, but they just weren't able to drive anything out of the ballpark today. And one home run early in the game here or there is a big difference maker. You know, maybe you put a little pressure on Santana, but quite frankly, they just didn't get anything going.
Well, Santana began his game 1-2-3 first on just 6 pitches, and then later in the game, in the sixth inning, he got him 1-2-3 on just 6 pitches. And then in the seventh, he got him 1-2-3 on just 7 pitches. In fact, he ended his game tonight with 14 consecutive outs. So there's just not a whole lot you can do against a guy like that.
No, I mean, you can analyze it to the extent that, what happened, what went wrong? Well, they got beat by a really good pitcher who was on the top of his game tonight. Nothing you can do other than you get to bed and you strap them on and you go back tomorrow and you try to come at the guy who may have better stuff than Santana, but maybe he won't have as good a command.
We'll see what happens. The post-game show brought to you by Browns Honda City. You can buy happy with Browns. Mentioned both Bundy and Santana got off to sizzling starts. In fact, this was a nothing-nothing game until the top of the fifth inning. When Bundy made one of his few mistakes in the game tonight, he walked the leadoff hitter. That is never a good idea. He walked Polanco, and then Castro got a base hit. And suddenly the Twins had 2 aboard with nobody out, for Byron Buxton, the guy who came in hitting 172. And, well, Buxton got the big hit. And Bundy with a 1-1 pitch. Ground ball toward the hole, and that's a base hit to left field. And so Polanco, the leadoff walk, he scores to give the Twins a 1-0 lead. And now they got first and second with nobody out in the fifth inning. Now, Dave Johnson, this is when Dylan Bundy really, I thought, did his job. I mean, he's down 1-0, and there are two men on base with nobody out. At a point in a ball game where the game can really get away from you, Bundy wouldn't let that happen.
No, and I think when you look at what Dylan's able to do, young as far as his major league career goes, that's an inning that gets away from a lot of guys. Right. Even if nothing else, if they just tack on one more there. You know, two runs in that game at that point in time, you knew it was going to be a close nail-biter. That's a big deal, but he was able to hold him to the one run there and escape that jam. That really shows you what this guy's all about.
And here's how he did it. He struck out Dozier, who's a very tough out, and then he got Grossman to bounce into a force out, out number two. And then Maurer came up to hit, and that's when Bundy was able to minimize the damage overall. Here's the 1-2 pitch, swing at him as he gets Maurer on strikes. So Bundy does minimize the damage.
Terrific job there minimizing the damage for Dylan Bundy.
Gives up one run, and the Twins leave two. So it stayed a 1-0 game until the top of the seventh inning. Bundy back to work. He got the first two outs in the inning. But then Dozier came up to hit. You can see Castillo setting up away. Bundy threw a fastball that came back and looked like it went right down the middle of the plate. And now the 1-1 to Dozier. Fly ball, left field, gone if it's fair. Way back there, it's fair, it's gone. A two-out, bases empty home run. Dozier hits it, 2-0 Minnesota in the seventh inning. At that point, and Santana, well, he was marvelous, as we talked about, just outstanding. Orioles in the entire game had one at-bat with the runner in scoring position. The eighth inning, he got the first two outs, and then Smith came up to hit, and that's when Santana continued to dominate. Fastball upstairs, swing and a miss. Strike came out. Santana, 6 strikeouts. He gets him 1-2-3 again. He has retired 11 in a row in the late innings. There you go. And Santana tonight, as we said, picked up his own save. Today he was his own closer. He came out bottom 9. He got Jones on a ground out. He got Machado on strikes. And then Trumbo came up to hit. There's a ground ball to short. There's Polanco. He's got it. The long throw. And he gets Trumbo. And that's how the game ends. Santana gets him 1-2-3. And he ends the game with 14 consecutive outs. Orioles here tonight in the loss column. For the second time this season, they get shut out. And we'll continue right after this. Joe Angel, Dave Johnson back at Camden Yards in the loss column. Tonight, Minnesota wins it by a score of 2-0. There was no manager's challenge in the game tonight. When there is one, it's brought to you by Elephant Auto Insurance. More care, less cost. Discover the elephant difference at elephant.com. Yep, Irvin Santana tonight with a complete game shutout. Gives up just 2 hits. Wins it 2-0. And let's go downstairs. Buck Showalter on Masson after the game.
Hello, what's up? Just one of those instances where you say you can't feel like they're picking on you because Santana's been doing this pretty much.
Yeah, I think he's, second in the league in ERA coming in tonight. Been a good pitcher. Pardon?
Leads the majors and wins.
Yeah, still a frustrating night for our guys. We didn't have many opportunities. Dylan was really good. You know, there's a certain rhythm to the defense when you're pitching like that. You know, like first play that Jonathan made in the first inning. You know, there's a tempo and something you always stress with your pitchers. Those plays seem to be made behind guys with that type of tempo and throwing strikes. But Dylan was really good. Thought Richard... That's kind of the guy that we thought was good to get him a couple innings under his belt, turn some of those switch hitters around. They're a tough team. They got a lot of weapons, well put together roster, a lot of pieces that fit.
Buck, is there something, too, after watching last night's game, having a dependable pitcher like Santana or Bundy that even when Dylan struggled in Detroit, he went 6 innings? Is there something, too,
yeah,
to
that?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There's just a rhythm to it, but, you know, I said many times, your momentum is who's pitching for you and who you're facing. You know, you can be swinging the bats as good as can be swung, and you get a guy like that on top of his game, it can make you look that way. But, you know, that's what's frustrating, you know, about last night, because you knew you had two pitchers that had kind of been struggling. One of them was going to kind of semi-right the ship, and one wasn't.
When you look at Bundy and you see, we've talked a lot about his, you know, growth from a, you know, thrower into really a pitcher. You know, his ability to really kind of, you know, get through some situations there. Yeah. You know, he puts a guy on second base, two outs, and he gets out of it a couple of times there to limit the damage.
You know, Ed, the thing that made him so intriguing to a lot of people coming out of the draft and the minor league is that he was more than a thrower then, and it was plus stuff. And I've talked to a lot of people that saw him in high school and his first year. There's a couple outs there that some people aren't getting. You know, the strikeout of Maurer there to keep it at one, you know, pitching that seventh inning, even the sixth, got through it and had some manageable pitch counts. And, he found some things that worked. I mean, Sano's is, you know, you see the RBIs, and he pitched him as well as he can be pitched. And he's on top of his game, too, offensively. And Dylan, pitcher's on top of his game, hitter's on top of the game, the pitcher wins most times.
Was there a silver lining in it that you got to save the ball, that you got to just pretty much save the bullpen?
Yeah, we're in pretty good shape down there physically since we've gone to a seventh pitcher. We've had Dylan, you know, that's been pretty consistent about getting deeper into games with a few exceptions.
You often talk about good pitchers. You know what they're going to do in the – can do it anyway, and that's what makes him so good. Was Santana doing anything differently at all?
Yeah, a little bit. He'd really gone to a two-seamer in a lot more this year, and tonight he threw his changeup a lot, and he had a little four-seamer that he was running up in the zone a little bit, and that was effective. You know, it's sometimes you get into points where some hitters are struggling, you know. So, you know, we got some guys that, you know, we've had a competitive start to the season without a lot of the things clicking that we think will and can.
What is he doing he had three very short innings, which obviously allowed him to go the distance.
Yeah, we caught up, the quick first inning. We caught up to where he's in that 15, 18 pitching inning, which might get him out of there before the eighth or seventh inning, and then he had those two you're talking about that really gave him a chance to finish the game.
Is that just a guy who's able to pitch in the strike zone and the right part of the strike zone?
Well, you know, he's got some weapons, and the slider is about as good as you want to see, and a lot of guys are trying not to get to that out pitch, and what happens then, you're susceptible to the changeup when you're trying to kind of ambush a fastball early, and it works right into his hands. Okay, thank you.
All right, Skipper Buckshell, Walter.